Weekends are funny on Absolute Radio.
And that all starts now with an exciting, effervescent addition to the Absolute Radio family.
John Richardson.
Exciting, effervescent, effortlessly uplifting.
Wait, is it? It is, yes.
This is the John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Welcome to the John Richardson Show podcast. This one entitled Queen Bee in honour of our wonderful guest, Angela Barnes. Kerry is away this week. Angela was a more than worthy companion. And here are the best bits of everything we talked about on Saturday morning on Absolute. Kerry's gone to me now. She's out of here. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the wonderful Angela Barnes. Good morning.
Good morning, John. Can I just get in straight away? I didn't kill her.
Okay.
Okay, exactly. I just want that clear, because you did make it sound a little bit like I have offed Kerry Godleyman this morning.
Okay, well, I'm going to say you've made it sound worse by opening with that.
Actually, yeah, you could be right there.
I watch a lot of Midsummer Murders, mate. And I'll tell you who did it, the one who says I didn't do it.
I think you saying I watch a lot of Midsummer Murders is the least surprising thing I've ever heard you say.
Well, on that, I am coming to you from Sheffield this week, not London. I'm done with London now. I've seen it all, seen Pall Mall and all that. I've seen QPR. I'm done.
Well, she's done the Monopoly board. Yeah.
Exactly. I've done all the pink ones. I dressed as a little dog with a top hat on as well.
And a monocle, London, right?
In a taxi. A little monocle. They've changed now, haven't they? I don't think it's the dog anymore.
Is it?
The
taxi. There's no dog. I bet. Is there still
no, I think
iron?
They're all modern ones now. There's like a vape, an iPhone.
Is there still an iron for the lady, though, surely? My mum always had to be the iron. See that? Ingrained misogyny. There it is, right there.
Well, I hope that's gone.
Yeah, me too.
Because the last thing we want is a game called Monopoly about taking over the world to reinforce any negative stereotypes about how you should live your life.
Very good point, well made, John.
What do you think my setup is here? So the view you've got of me.
Yeah.
I look like a professional broadcaster.
I can see what looks like a tea towel hanging behind you. So, you know, apart
that
from that.
That is an Absolute Radio tote bag.
Oh, is it? Okay, fine. Not a tea towel. Yeah. You've got the microphone. You've got the laptop. It's looking like a pretty good studio setup to me, John.
What do you think the microphone is on to raise it to my full 6.5?
Oh, bless you. What would I have it on? A stack of books.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would, because I'm a reader,
John.
I ain't
one of them readers, mate. You're looking at a microphone perched on top of a wicker basket. On top of that is a boxed fondue set.
You've basically made microphone Jenga. Is what
absolutely. This is going down at some point with the full clang of a fondue set as well.
I have to ask, is that a House of Games fondue set?
Yes, I knew you'd know.
Because I've got one too.
Now, my dad told me when I agreed to go on House of Games, I said, I don't know how to play it because I don't want to come across as smug or competitive. And he said, well, listen, Angela Barnes is the only one who's ever won all five. So that's the bar.
I love that your dad knows that.
Oh, he knew that, and he's mentioned it a couple of times, mate.
I love it. And of course, I've met your dad, so, you know, that makes us pals now, I think.
Yeah, well, we'll come to that later. You have travelled the length of the country for me before on more than one occasion, for which I'm very grateful. You'll be doing it again soon. You are about to embark on a tour. Let's talk about that shortly, shall we?
Brilliant.
Have you got anything for me?
Oh, I have got something for you, actually, John.
One doesn't like to ask, but one of the reasons I'm so glad to see the back of Kerry Godleyman is that she's never brought me anything.
She's never
brought
me.
And I have asked.
And she's promised as well. I've listened to the shows, John.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be somebody who doesn't keep promises. Oh. So I don't have a garden, but I have bought you some tomatoes.
Oh, they look good.
They're Marks and Spencer's tomatoes. Oh, so they're, mate. You know, they're pretty
they're
nice,
right on the
John.
Vine, aren't they?
They're right on the vine. They are piccolo vine tomatoes. Don't know what that means, but I'm sure they're very... But unfortunately, due to the restraining order you have against me, you're in Sheffield and I'm not. So I guess...
I will allow you, during the next song, to travel to Sheffield and just leave it on the drive.
Okay, fine. Right? I'll do that. Yeah, no problem.
All right. Live tomato eating coming up.
He's done 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Now, John Richardson does radio. This is the John Richardson Show.
That's the best tomato I've ever had. And I think it's even better because you didn't grow it.
Yeah, that's it. Just buy a tomato. You don't need to grow them.
Sometimes it's good to know your limits, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just leave them to tomato growing to the tomato folk. wherever yeah. they may be. God rest their souls.
And I don't want to take a livelihood from them.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm the same with these new comedians that are coming through. I think I'm not going to challenge them anymore. Let them have it. Let them have it, I say. I'm just going to balance a mic on my fondue set and talk about tomatoes for a living. See how far I can get with that.
Got to know your limits, John.
Now, despite my filthy electrical supply, the show itself is very clean, Angela.
Yes.
And that means we tidy up every week. So at the start of each week, we go back and we tie up loose ends from the week before.
Nice.
Basically involves humiliating Kerry Godliman by playing a weird sound she's made.
Brilliant, I'm game.
Yeah, absolutely. So to set the bar of what I expect from you this morning, here's a clip from Kerry last week.
Alexa, play the Stones!
Was that Kerry abusing her Alexa in a Scottish accent?
I'm delighted that you think it was a Scottish accent.
Was it
I think
not?
I think it was Yorkshire. I
oh,
think
dear.
It's Kerry's mum. Now, you have a choice here. Kerry won't be listening. You can either put that down to Kerry, the wonderful actor Kerry Godliman's performance, or you can put it down to you slightly mishearing it. How do you want to play this?
As a hearing aid wearer, John, I'm going to on the side of caution and say that I obviously misheard that because I've already publicly insulted Kerry Godliman recently. I don't want to do it again.
Okay, that's a fail for me.
Yeah.
But if you could work on that passive aggression through the show,
I can make you feel better, John. I can make you feel better because the way I publicly humiliated her was on House of Games. She was the answer to a question I was given, and I completely forgot her surname, even though I've known her for about 20 years. So,
okay. Well, I consider that an acquittal.
Okay, thank you. I thought that would help.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that. And by the way, to anyone listening, the fact that I've got a fondue set, the shows I'm on haven't gone out yet. That's not a spoiler at all. Maybe I lost that episode and stole the fondue set.
I gave Denise out on a dartboard, so, you know, one of the others could have gifted it to you.
That's true. I could have been... No, because I wouldn't have mentioned it. If I'd been that bad that someone had to gift me, let's be honest. Let's just say it like it is. If I'd been that bad, I wouldn't have even told you I was on House of Games. I would have had that footage deleted. I would have had Richard Osman deleted. We also discussed last week our opening topic. We got a lot of emails through the week. That's john@absoluteradio.co.uk. We had this from Jason in Bridgend, so some forewarning there. He is Welsh.
Right.
Well, we don't know, actually. Could have moved to Bridgend. But Jason sent us this email about his technological nemesis.
Hi, John. Loving the show. Last week, you talked about annoying technology and how it never works when you need it to. That reminded me of a time I made my wife a cheesy hammy toasty, and it turned out perfectly. But when I went to make mine, the bread stuck to the sides and it fell apart as I tried to get my boiling hot sandwich out. In the end, I got so annoyed, I unplugged it and I threw the whole thing out the window into the garden. You might even say I was hangry.
Oh, you might.
What I love most about that is it was a cheesy hammy toasty. Cheese and ham, it was cheesy hammy.
You're married.
I am.
In that situation, do you give your partner the good toasty or do you take the good one for yourself?
I take the good one for myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I've put the work in, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
I get the best toasty. That's how it works, no?
And how is the marriage?
I mean, I have to say, I don't do any... The chances of me being the one making the toasty in our house is pretty remote. Like,
Have you got clear lines?
I don't cook at all. I'm not good at it. I don't enjoy it. My husband enjoys it. If he left me, I'd be dead in a fortnight. That's pretty much.
You survived before him. I've got old Bear Grylls.
Yeah, and I still don't know how. But he's sort of king of the kitchen appliances as well. The air fryer hates me. So and he's tried to teach, and he really loves when he gets to teach me something, you know? When he's learned how to use an appliance and it's like, I'll show you how to do it. And I would rather use the instruction book because that's not patronising me. So I end up, he'll tell me how to use it, but I'll deliberately use it in my own way, thinking I know best, and then it's a disaster. So I just stay
I'm on his side.
I knew you would be, John.
Yeah,
I knew you would be.
It's that logic I've never understood. Because you've told me how to use it, I'm going to deliberately do it wrong because I'm upset that you've told me how to.
It's the way you've told me how to use it. If you told me how to use it in a neutral way, fine. But it's the inherent because I know better than you that's in it that makes me rebel.
Is there a revenge? What's the thing you do in the house that allows you to speak to him in that tone?
Oh, God. Well, we might come on to this later, I think, but
okay.
I definitely, it's to do with our most competitive together is word games.
Okay.
And anything to do with, any Scrabble or anything. I've met my match a little bit, my husband, but I think I've still got the edge, just...
Oh, I really want to get him on.
He's going to be so angry when he hears this.
Is he? Even though I backed him up?
Oh, my God. In fact, I've turned my phone off because he'll be listening to this raging now I've said that I'm better at word games than him.
Oh, do you know what? The fact that I've brought that tension into your marriage and we've barely begun our time together just makes me think everything's going right with the world. If you want to get in touch with either of us, you can email john@absoluteradio.co.uk. In the small hours of Thursday night, passing into Friday morning, I became 42.
Oh.
I transitioned smoothly from 41 days, 364 or 5. Is it 365th day? So I was 365 days, was I?
Were you?
Oh, no.
Oh, don't make me do maths live on air, John. That's really cruel.
Just had a link about having the edge on your partner and bragging about how well we've done our quizzes. And I already can't work out. Anyway, I became 42.
Happy birthday, John. I would have wrapped up the tomatoes if I'd known. I'm sorry.
I'd love to have seen you try. I tell you what, if you'd have wrapped me up one cherry tomato, I would have admired you more for the rest of my life.
Oh, I wish I had.
It's the age that Douglas Adams says you just know everything.
It's meaning the of life, to everything. 42.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
As someone who's gone past that stage several years ago now, I'm sorry to break it to you, John, but if you didn't have the meaning of life, if you didn't have your stuff together by the time you were 18, it's not happening. That's what I've realised.
Really? 18?
Yeah. I reckon that you're only a wise adult if you were a young person with common sense. So a bit like you can only get shingles if you had chicken pox when you were younger, you know?
Yeah.
You can only become wise as an old person if you were the sort of 18-year-old who had an ISA. And I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
I had friends. So, you know.
You can have friends and an ISA.
No, you can't.
You?
Not at 18. Of course you can't. Oh, that'd be silly.
I don't think I had either. But only because ISAs didn't exist and I was skint at 18. But,
had you had something to put in an ISA, you definitely would have had one, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Pop quiz.
Okay.
Have I had shingles?
Oh, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. I look like the sort, don't
you
I?
You do. There is an air of shingles about you.
Yeah, he's had shingles.
Yeah, I have as well,
that.
Actually. So.
Have you?
Yeah.
Where did you get yours?
Horrible, isn't it? When or where?
Where? Well, I'll take either.
I got mine on my optic nerve. It was horrible.
Oh, that's where you don't want
that's
it.
That's where
the
you
one
don't
thing
want
I got
it, mate.
Told. Don't touch your eye.
Yeah, it was nasty. Yeah.
I got mine just above the left breast.
Ooh. No, it's painful, isn't it? Horrible.
It was unpleasant. But
yeah.
I feel like you'd be disappointed if I hadn't had shingles.
Yeah, it's the cardigans somehow belong to shingles. Do you know what I mean? They go to get cardigans and shingles just seem to match.
And maybe there is a link there. Maybe someone should set up a study.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever, I mean, you can email us, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. If you've never worn a cardigan but you have had shingles, I don't think such a person exists.
I don't think anyone's in the middle of that Venn diagram, John. I think it's an empty Venn.
Do you think there's anyone who's never worn a cardigan?
I do think there's people who've never worn cardigans, John.
Do you think? As a sort of principle?
I hate to tell you this, but there are lots of people that have never worn cardigans. I'm not one of them. I love a cardi, me, but...
Yeah.
I think,
I know that.
Yeah. I've got one on. But
I get a lot now on social media of occasionally a sexy person will wear a cardigan. I got one this week. Who was it? Oh, it was Kurt Cobain. It was an album cover of Kurt Cobain in a cardigan.
Oh, with a stripy T-shirt. That's quite a good look.
I didn't look at the picture. I read the words. Because what I want is the hurt. I don't want any context.
Right.
There was a picture of the album cover and someone had written, nobody will ever wear a cardigan in a more anti-establishment, cool way than this guy. And don't even try. And someone just copied me in with a little question mark.
Oh. I feel about cool people in cardigans and sexy people in cardigans the same way I feel about good-looking comedians. It's like, it's not for you.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, go
yes,
and be a pop star. Like, this is supposed to be for us weirdos.
Yeah.
And now suddenly all these beautiful people are good stand-up comedians. And that's not what it's supposed to be.
Yes, and they're wearing what they call dad trainers. And they're wearing bad jeans. And they're wearing NHS glasses. They're dressing the way I used to dress when I got bullied. And they're using it against me even now. It's like, it wasn't enough to be cooler than you at the time. Now I'm going to dress like you were then, better than you. Right, I'm going to we're going to play some music. I'm going to run out and I'm going to take a cardigan off the first person I see. So last week we read out a poem about printers, made a throwaway comment that if anyone else wanted to send a poem about anything we talked about, then we would make them our poet in residence. You dangle the line, you never know what's going to come back. Well, step forward, Steph, who heard us later on talking about staying in for parcel deliveries and got in touch. She joins us on the phone now, our first ever official poet in residence. Steph, hello.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, great to be here. I'm a really big fan.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Evangelist?
Yes, I do. <Who? laughs>
I realise now I don't know Angela's poetry background, so it could be that actually I've set you up for a fall by bringing you on the week. You could say to me, oh, actually, I've got a degree in poetry and I was the poet laureate.
No, I'm a fan of funny poems. I like poems that make me laugh. The earnest ones, I find it hard to take seriously. You know,
Steph,
I feel like...
Are we earnest or are we more in the limerick realm?
Much more in the comedy realm, yeah. Excellent. I like a funny poem.
Oh,
and are you,
you
a poet?
That.
No. I work for Oxfam and the CALP Network. I'm a humanitarian aid worker. Definitely not a poet.
Oh, this is a real test of my willingness to bring down the Saturday smugness, but that's coming up later. So. I'll tell you what, if you'd called me in 10 minutes, we'd be having a conversation about how much those books cost.
Second and end. This would be the last episode of this show.
But well done. That's incredible work. So then is the poetry a release, a way to express yourself?
Yeah, it just makes me laugh. Every now and then I think of a funny poem, so I just like writing funny things, really.
Well, let this be the start of you becoming globally known for your funny poems. Nothing would give me greater pleasure than for you to build such a profile that you can finally quit that humanitarian work once and for good. Make the world a slightly worse place. Say, where's Steph this week? We've had a disaster. Oh, no, she just does poetry now. Yeah, she's not bothered. So last week we were discussing the act of waiting in for a parcel, and I believe you have some words on that.
The poem's called Limbo, and it goes like this. We sit and wait, whiling away the hours, watching the slow droop of shop-bought flowers. Minutes tick, and then tocks pass. We cannot move, we must hold fast. Bored toddler squirming fills the room. Nothing has ever felt more like doom. Doorbells chime, but not for thee. Oh, such painful lethargy. No one has ever felt less alive when your delivery window is 9 to 5.
That was very beautiful.
I felt the pain in that. Did you, John? I was sat there in that room feeling it. We've all been there.
I've got time for anyone who says I've written a comedy poem that has the phrase, no one has ever felt less alive. That is... Bang in my hitting zone, I'll tell you that now.
That's speaking your language, isn't it, John, that?
It was absolutely brilliant, Steph. Thank you very much. I don't suppose you've ever had shingles.
No, I haven't. Okay. No, I wrote that one day when my 2-year-old daughter and I'd stupidly ordered something online and then we couldn't leave the house. And I'm sure you know what it's like with young children.
Yeah.
The ability to leave the house becomes really quite important.
Yeah, you get over that very quickly. You're going to get to a point where they don't want to leave the house ever for school, parties, anything. So you can just order away to your heart's content. Steph, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks a lot, John.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Have you achieved anything this week?
I have. I don't really do smug very often. It's not a... I think I'm a bit like you, John, in that, you know, from sort of working class backgrounds, and you don't get to feel smug very often. It's not that nice a feeling. However...
No.
I did mention earlier about my husband and I being quite competitive when it came to word games. And there's a word game that we play every single day, right? And it's called Spelling Bee. I don't know if you've seen it. It's like the New York Times word game thing. And every day we race each other to genius, right? So it's whoever gets to genius first. And we're pretty evenly matched
on
it.
It's smug-ish.
It's quite smug, but it gets even more smug because the other day I unlocked a secret level on it that we didn't know was there, which is Queen Bee. And I got there. I wasn't with my husband. I was away. I was staying in a hotel. And what that means is you've found every single word it's possible to find in this puzzle. And it's this secret thing comes up going, you're Queen Bee. And so I screenshotted it and sent it to him. and he was so upset that he didn't even know this extra level existed. He's like, I just get to genius and stop. I was like, well, I carried on. And that's what happens.
I don't know. I've got to say, this is the first time I've been tempted not to bring you down a peg or two.
Oh, thank you, John. I mean, knew you'd understand.
Well, it's not a good thing for you.
Oh, okay.
It's very much like if I ever get into a band, then they've lost it, basically.
Yeah.
If you like a band and then I say, oh, I like them, that means they've very much moved into the mainstream finale of their career.
I see where you're going.
I've never said, oh, yeah, I liked them before they were famous. That's not me. It's not who I am. Equally, if I tell you I think it's really cool that you were sat in a hotel on your own playing word games just to undermine the love of your husband, I don't think it's a great thing.
No, cool is a matter of perspective, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but yeah. I do... Well, this from the lady banging on about I had friends instead of an ISA.
Yeah, did I, though? Or was that you just did. Bravado, John?
Okay.
We both know, okay. Don't we? We both know. I didn't have friends or an ISA, let's be honest.
There is a lot to be said for him saying... I thought the agreement was that we get to genius. It's a race to genius. That's like you racing him at the 100 metres and then saying, well, my 200 metre time was faster than yours, when he's having a cup of tea and a Kit Kat.
But I think if he knew that there was a 200 metre finish line ahead, then he would have kept going. But he didn't even know that was there, whereas I was willing to explore.
Have you had a game yet where you've both raced to Queen or King B?
He's still never got Queen B.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that I will allow.
Okay.
That I will allow.
Brilliant.
And the great news is you've married someone less intelligent than you. And for that short feeling of smugness, you have a lifetime of being frustrated by his every action indeed. And I think that balances it out.
Yeah. Thanks, John. Thanks for making me question everything. We've just had our third wedding anniversary. Will we have our fourth? That's the question.
You'll get to four. You'll get to four. Yeah, don't you worry about that. Then the real work begins. I was unintentionally smug last week on the show.
Ooh.
I opened last week's show by banging on about, I said, I love autumn, mate. I said, all you summer folk are gutted now because, oh, no, I can't wear my T-shirts and sit outside, you know. I am a cardigan-wearing indoorsman. I get my slow cooker out. This is when I thrive.
It's your time.
No sooner had those words left my lips than I was struck by a throat like razors. I've been on the lemon and ginger tea all week.
Oh.
There's no two ways about it. I got my petard out last week, live on air, and I've only gone and hoisted myself on it.
That is like real-time hubris playing out right there.
Yeah, and I deserve it. I deserve it. But
are you feeling better now, John?
No, I feel worse. This Douglas Adams 42 thing, I've rarely felt worse than I have since turning 42.
Oh, well, and if, you know, in 6 months it'll be spring.
Yeah.
It's not helped, is
it? Got it. I think we are joined on the line now by Michelle. Good morning, Michelle.
Morning.
Did I pick a little Midlands twang on the end there, Michelle?
Oh, you did, yeah.
Whereabouts are you?
I work in Birmingham, but I actually live in Worcester.
It's got a nice A&E in Worcester. I spent a night there last year.
No, it's not.
I did. And a little fun fact, the A&E at Worcester Hospital has recently moved, because when we arrived and asked for directions to A&E, the person we asked showed us where the A&E used to be, and that is now the morgue. And that's not where you want to show up.
Wow. It depends what's wrong with you, really.
Well, it does, yeah. I did for a moment think I was being fast-tracked, but...
I feel like we've sort of... Just this conversation has meant that the Saturday smugness has sort of taken care of itself. Whatever you've achieved is underpinned by this chat about death. Michelle, what have you achieved this week?
I've just got back off holiday, been in Cornwall for a week. Clear blue skies all week, and all I've heard from the family back home is, why have you got clear blue skies? It's really horrible up in the Midlands. And we went down with our usual attire, jeans, trainers, coats. Didn't need any of them. It was glorious.
You've really been walking around Cornwall naked, is what you're saying.
Wow. Only when it's dark. We don't want to scare everyone. yeah.
And I don't know what to say. You'll be hearing from Cornwall and Devon Constabulary.
At some point, yeah.
I want to give Michelle extra points because she went on holiday to Cornwall in the UK and didn't call it a staycation. And that, for me, means you can have all the points, because I get so annoyed when people refer to their holidays as a staycation. Mm-hmm. And you didn't do that. You had a holiday in Cornwall.
Perfect. We didn't have a holiday because a staycation is when you stay at home.
Exactly my point, Michelle. I think you and I are going to be friends.
Yeah, you're listening to the Michelle and Angela show here on Absolute Radio.
Who's that guy speaking just then? I don't know who that was.
Well, you have. Do you know what? It's lovely to just hear a conversation where two people agree and get on. You just don't hear it enough. Mm. So congratulations. My view, on the other hand, of course, is tailored slightly by the view that the fact that you've had a beautiful week of warm sunshine in late September is a sort of sign of the doom that we all face as a globe and the catastrophe that is climate change. So I'm glad you've enjoyed that at the expense of your family, but we're all going to die.
I was
going to
say keep it light, John, but then I remembered who you were.
It's not what I do.
No.
It's not what I do. Michelle, I am off air. I don't think anyone's listening now. I'm delighted you've had a wonderful trip and I care for Cornwall very much.
We've never had a week like it, ever. I've got to be honest.
Oh, so well, you deserved a nice week down there after all the years you've put in of rainy weeks in Cornwall. It was your turn.
Yeah.
If God willing, I'm still in employment next year. You call me when it all evens out and you get absolutely thundered on. We'll have a lovely chat. If you think you're going to feel smug next week, if you've got anything coming up that you think gives you the right to be our Saturday smugness caller, then you can email john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Welcome back. You're listening to Absolute Radio. I am John Richardson, joined by the wonderful and the transient Angela Barnes.
Transient. I like that. I'm in the process of moving house. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and you're going on tour.
I hope we're moving house, John. We're at that horrible stage of, you know, will we exchange, won't we exchange, and all of... And I'm not sure why it has to be so complicated in this country. The whole process of buying a house... Suddenly, because I don't have a poker face. I don't know about you. I can't do the negotiating. I'm like, just tell me how much your house costs, and if I can afford it, I'll pay it.
Yes.
And then all the, you know, oh, but the chimney's got a brick missing, so give me £1,000. I can't play that game. I'm not a negotiator. I don't even have a snakes and ladders face. Like, I can't do it.
No, but the time to play that game is now, because what you don't want to do is get in the house and find all the stuff they haven't told you about and then wish you'd negotiated.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a survey, you know, I've done all the... I'm very much pay someone else to check everything and then I trust them. Is that...
Yeah, you're implying that the sort of most financially important and crippling financial decision you ever make should have more of an element of trust in it.
Yeah. I wish I could see it more like you. I'm too British about it. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure there's not a problem. I couldn't possibly ask you to you know, pay more or...
Oh, I don't do it.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, I don't do it. No, pay the asking price and then just be miserable for the rest of your life.
Oh,
absolutely.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, no, you're not supposed to. No, you're not supposed to.
So I just move in and watch the house crumble around me?
Absolutely, yeah. Just wonder what that smell was. And then you think, oh, she wasn't baking bread the day we looked around.
Oh,
you were
that
absolutely
was...
done.
Oh, God. Oh, what have I done? It's such
well,
a...
Well, the great thing is you're going to be on tour, so you won't. It's for your husband to deal with.
That's
he ain't
true.
He ain't getting Queen Bee, I'll tell you that.
He's going to be too busy repairing roofs.
Oh, with a roof leak dripping on his phone. Good luck with that, mate.
I love spending time with you, John. I really do. It makes me feel really good about my own outlook on life,
I've
you know?
I've never heard that phrase not used sarcastically.
I really meant it.
Oh, thank you. If all you get out of 3 hours in my company on a Saturday morning is, at least I'm not him, then I've done my job.
John
Richardson, Absolute Radio, here as long as you need me. It's autumn. I am slightly shamed to say I have gone all young. Perhaps you've... I don't know if it's a reaction to turning 42, but I'm wearing what I believe the young people call a hooded top.
I don't think I've ever seen you in a hoodie before, John.
No, what do you think?
It suits you, but it's a bit like, you know, when they paint Disney characters on an ice cream van and they have to paint them a bit off so they don't get sued. It's a bit like that. You are John Richardson, but something's a bit off.
John Richardson-ish. It's because I'm playing rock and roll music on a Saturday morning, so
right,
I like to dress cool.
This is the absolute effect.
This is what Absolute has done to me, yeah. I don't even shave anymore.
You're going to wear loafers with no socks next week, is that where we're heading?
No.
John, you're right.
No, that never. It makes me feel so sick, that.
I don't like shoes with no socks. Being able to see a man's whole ankle, it's not right, is it?
Yeah, and there's something undignified for men and women about buying those little booty socks. Yeah. The little sort of wrapper. They're not doing the job. They're no. not. It's just like a little bit of cling film around your toes. That's not stopping the stench.
Wear a sock or don't wear a sock. That's the...
Wear a sock.
Well, just wear a sock, actually. Wear yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're right.
Sometimes I go out in the winter. Here's a little tip. You don't want to... I'm not at an age yet where I'm comfortable buying a long john, but yeah. I will sometimes. I'll stick football socks on in the morning. And ooh. I'll pull them right up under my jeans. Nobody knows.
No one knows. Only you know. And anyone listening to this knows now when they see yeah. your jeans on in the winter, what's going on under there.
I'm sat looking all smug in the winter. How cold are your knees? A little bit colder than mine, I'll bargain. And if a game does break out, say I'm walking past Ellen Road and they say, oh my God, Pat Bamford hasn't turned up. I'm straight on.
You ready? Jeans off on the pitch.
But you're wearing a cardigan.
I am wearing a cardigan. I love a cardigan. And this is my favourite. I've got this very cardigan in four different colours. I love it. I've gone autumnal today. I've got me mustard cardigan and sort of rust-coloured dress.
It's a great look. But
thanks,
it's
mate.
A really good look. Yeah. And when you say I've got it in four colours, I'm guessing none of them is pink.
Or... Actually, one of them is pink. You've I've got pink, pink I've got bright orange, and I've got green and mustard yellow. I don't ooh. Do brown cardigans. I do bright colours, John. I know that's sort of weird to you, but...
No, I don't like a bright colour.
No.
Not to surprise anyone.
Look at the surprise in my voice. Oh, really?
I dress so as not to be looked at. And I don't mean that in the sense of being recognisable. Just I want to be absolutely under the radar.
You're basically an urban camo. That's what you are. You want to blend into the buildings and into the...
Yeah. 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 You follow the fashion just a few years behind. Yeah. So nobody's... The minute anyone says, God, he looks great, that guy. No, they're looking at you.
Yeah. I don't know why I like bright colours, because it doesn't really... Am I sort of compensating for... I think my personality's all right. Like, I don't need to do
it. I love people who wear bright colours. My mum looked after my daughter this week and they played a game where they spotted blue cars and they had to give up. And she said, all the cars now are white and grey. What's going on there?
They are. I've got a red car, John.
I've got a red car. Well, you just constantly defy everything.
Right.
Is that a natural colour on your hair?
It's definitely not a natural colour. My dad wasn't a fraggle, John. I've recently changed my hair colour after 15 years. So this is, I've gone for, it's a coral copper. There you go, ooh. Sort of pinky copper colour. Yeah.
I love it.
Thanks, mate.
I'm toying with the idea of dyeing my beard.
What colour?
Well, what it should be. It's gone very grey in the last sort of couple of weeks. Mm. And I'm quite upset. I don't want... The bald spot's the bald spot. We're dealing with that. But the beard, I just think it probably wouldn't take very long.
I've got one word for you, John.
Yes?
Distinguished. I think a grey beard looks distinguished. I do.
I think my beard is more... It's more I've got two words for you. Roadkill badger. That's the sort of... That's the look of... I wouldn't mind if it was all grey and full, but there's bits missing. It's grey and some bits dark in the others. I've always got some spaghetti.
But you can't... Like, the bits
down.
That are missing, colouring the rest of it's not going to make them not missing.
I'll have a think about it.
Yeah, I do. Ask your friends. Don't just make the decision alone. That's what I'm saying.
Already established, I don't have any. And if you're my friend, email john at absoluteradio.co.uk.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
So that was the actual news. This is the news that wasn't in the news, that should have been in the news. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes. This is headline alone.
Right.
And we've discussed our characters. You're about to move house.
Yes.
You're about to inherit new neighbours. You're about to be the new neighbour.
What
are you looking for? Yeah, are you looking for... The cliche is the pie on the windowsill, isn't it? Would that make you think, I've moved to a good area? Would that make you think, here we go?
The problem is my husband and I want different things. My husband wants neighbours that will completely leave us alone and we never have to talk to them. Mm-hmm. Whereas I like the idea of neighbours where, you know, it's like having a glass of wine over the fence or, you know, sort of...
Lobbing it.
Smashing glasses of wine on their patio, leaving broken glass everywhere. That's my, you know... I like to cause a bit of upset in the neighbourhood. No.
Here's your Rioja. Whack.
We're moving to a new area where we don't know anyone, so I want nice neighbours we can be friends with, you know.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? I think I'm with your husband, except in the days of parcels and things. You do need to have a sort of base level relationship, don't you?
He works from home, though, see, he's always at home.
Oh, brilliant.
So, you know.
Oh, and he's still not better than you at word games.
I know, weird, isn't it? He's got all that time.
Job. Here's the headline. This is what you're not looking for. Okay. My neighbours park so badly, I bought scarecrows to stop them blocking my drive.
Oh, God, the parking thing.
Yeah, exactly. I love all of it.
I bet you do as well. You'd be the guy who... There's a guy who lives on our street who has left rude notes on everyone's cars about how they park at different points. But you know what? There was a little bit of karma because a couple of years ago, they put up a 5G mast outside his house. And he put a note through everyone's door saying, will you sign a petition against this 5G mast? But what actually happened, all the neighbours were so upset with him being rude about our parking that we all got together and we wrote to the council and said how excited we were about our fast Wi-Fi that we were about to get. So,
wow. Well, you'll be sorry when he's closest to it and he can see the future. Because that's what will happen. He'll be able to put a note on your car based on how you're going to park tomorrow. Because of the information he gets from that 5G mast.
Yep.
I love the fact that, because it doesn't need to be scarecrows, does it? It's the key information here. If you just want to stop your neighbours parking in front of your drive, you put a bollard out there.
Yeah.
People put chairs. You get a traffic cone off the internet. I mean, scarecrows says, I'm not to be trusted.
Yeah, are there many crows driving cars around their neighbourhood? Is that the problem they have? Like, why scarecrows?
If someone puts a cone out, that says to me, you are the kind of person with the time and the will to buy a traffic cone off the internet. Mm. If you put a scarecrow outside your house, that says, this person
is deranged.
Will watch me while I sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
This person is going through my post. This person is posting foul things through my letterbox. You don't mess with someone who buys a scarecrow as their first port of call.
Yeah, they haven't gone cones, then barrier, then scarecrow. They've gone straight to scarecrow. And also, you can move a cone. Like, I wouldn't think twice about moving someone's cone. Just like, this idiot's put a cone there. But I'm not touching someone else's scarecrow.
No, just in case it's a person.
Yeah, exactly. Could you imagine? You went to move it and it went, hello.
I think I'm going to buy a scarecrow just in case.
Oh,
seems a sort of good thing to have.
I've just got this image in my head, John, of you sitting, looking behind your curtain, just watching people approach the scarecrow. Come on.
There is some of that. I parked outside someone's house this week with my daughter and I could see her watching. And I said to my daughter, I said, that lady is going to approach us about the fact that we've parked on the street outside her house because they didn't want her to be upset. I said, I just want you to know now I've spotted her straight down the drive. Why are you parking there?
Oh, why do people think they own the road?
Exactly my words,
Angela. That really winds me up. It's like, sorry I'm parked in front of your house, but tough, buy a house with a drive next time.
Yeah, she's moving soon. There's 8 scarecrows outside her house now, waving with my face on them. Angela, what have you seen this week?
Well, I've seen something. It's not the most vegan-friendly story in the world, John, but it's that cheese dating back 3,600 years has been found in a Chinese tomb. And what really excites me about this is, I mean, that's some pretty mature cheese going on
there. That is aged.
The tomb was dug up in 2003, and it's taken them 21 years to identify that this substance is cheese. So,
okay.
So,
well, that was my first thought, to be honest.
Yeah.
Isn't that what cheese is? Just something... It wasn't cheese when it went in, was it?
Well, it's probably milk when it went in, was it? Well, they say it's been identified as kefir cheese. And at first they thought it was a piece of jewellery. And then they...
Oh.
I know. John, you've got a bit green. You're right.
Well, you know cheese is old when it's being mistaken first for rock.
Maybe that's a necklace. Oh, no, hang on. I mean, oh, dear, it's a shame this is morning radio because there's things I could say. But this cheese, would you try it, John? If you weren't vegan, would you give it a little taste? The 3,600... Because I bet there's cheese snobs out there who'd love to get their hands on this, aren't there?
I would, yeah, I think I would. If it could sort of be tested just to say... Because when else can you say that?
Yeah.
When else can you say I've eaten 3,500-year-old cheese?
And also, John, let's be honest, I know you're vegan, but, I mean, that cow's long gone. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it may be vegan cheese, we don't know.
Yeah, I think we do. I bet it tastes better.
Do you think they were milking almonds 3,600 years ago? I think if I was going to go back to cheese, it would probably be for a mature cheddar or a bit of Danish blue rather than something that is potentially going to cause me serious problems.
Yeah.
Did you eat it?
No, God, no. No, no. I do like a mature cheese and I like a... But 3,600 years, I think...
That's very mature.
Yeah. That's.
I'm going to go as far as to say... I don't think I'd eat anything found in a tomb.
Well, there is that element. It's the proximity to the dead body, I think, more than anything, actually.
Yeah.
That puts me off, rather than the age or the what the substance is. It's the fact it was hanging around the neck of a corpse.
I'd love to have it, though. It's the sort of thing I'd love to own, because I always say to my daughter, like, the one thing the school can never teach you is what we don't know.
Yeah.
Because they could only teach you things we do know. But actually, what we don't know is more interesting, because that's what you all end up doing for a job. It's trying to find stuff. And just the image of someone having a nice cheese board 3,500 years ago. Sometimes I think, oh, we're moving too fast. And then you see stuff like that, you think, we're not moving at all.
Yeah, still doing it. We're still having... although I don't know if we're getting buried with it round our necks now, but, you know.
That's it. That's what I think. What do you want to be buried with? Something from your loved ones, or perhaps your dog's collar? Nah. Bit of cheese.
It's like, if I'm going, I'm taking that cheese with me.
I'm taking
You're not
that Dairy cheese triangle into the afterlife. Thank you very much indeed. So each week we invite you to text in Rock and Roll Football some hours after we've come off air with the topic that we were discussing, carefully hidden so that Matt Ford will read it out and not know that he's promoting our show on his own. Last week, after our discussion about electrical nemeses, we asked you to text in with electrical items carefully hidden inside your text message. We have a reigning champion who's won 2 weeks in a row. A new player has stepped up. Oof. With not just one, not just two, not just three, but four items hidden in their text message. And here it is.
Sue in Clifton is going to have some soup, stock and lentils into a slow cooker.
Ooh,
and then when you get
yes.
she gets home from work, she's going to stick it in a blender, put the rest in the freezer to microwave when she next needs
great
equipment.
Great advice. Batch cooking.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
Can I reveal
to you now, Angela?
Yeah.
And to producer Jeff and to the nation, I am Sue from Clifton.
No! Did you know that, Jeff, producer? His face, wow.
I am so pleased. I can't tell you. And you know what makes it even sweeter? I sent that from the bath. I don't know why it makes it nicer for me. I was naked in a lovely warm bath and I had their show on. They yeah. started talking about soup. Sue didn't suggest that. They were talking about soup anyway. Fordy was banging on about his soup recipe and I spotted a window and I leapt head first through it.
And they
so
completely
the bar has been
fell
set.
For it.
Absolutely. Four electrical items. I've been Sue from Clifton for years.
That's your weekend name.
I mention him every week. Ken Bruce has read Sue from Clifton's text messages. The wonderful, God rest his soul, Steve Wright, read messages from Sue from Clifton. I have been texting in radio shows, Five Live, Absolute, anything I'm listening to. They all love Sue from Clifton. And I hope that when I die, somebody pieces them all together.
Makes a montage. Has Fordy ever read out Sue from Clifton before?
That's a first. That is a first. I thought he might spot it.
I had this sort of vision of Fordy thinking he's got this massive super fan, this Sue from Clifton.
I was worried it was a bit too on the nose, to be honest, because there's nothing about football in there. What we do is we invite the listeners to sort of use football as a way of getting in there. So this week, in honour of you bringing a tomato,
right.
And I respect you so much for doing it, because Kerry's had 3 weeks and she literally can't get out of her house for him, and she hasn't managed. So as homage to you bringing me a tomato, fruits and vegetables in your text messages to Matt Ford on Rock and Roll Football this afternoon. If you've got some, you're a massive football fan.
Yeah, I'm more of a fruit and veg fan. And I'm quite a pun fan though. Can I think of anything? Like maybe you could talk about a player who's a has-been.
Oh, see, that's straight in there. That's wonderful.
Or, I don't know, do you have runners in football?
Find the runner.
Find the runner.
If you can get runner and has been in the same message, famously, it's been very wet this week, lots of rain. There is a leak at Old Trafford.
Oh.
It made the news. So you could perhaps send him a message about the leak at Old Trafford.
Nice. Yeah, I'm stuck.
Get as many as you can in. The bar has been set for. If you could do four, wonderful. I will take one kumquat. If you can get kumquat in there, I don't mind what else is in the text messages. But if you can make him say it, on Absolute Radio this afternoon, you will be next week's champion. This week's champion is me.
Next week's champion, Kumquat May.
Oh, lovely. Angela Barnes.
Thank you.
So, Angela, our time together is nearing an end.
Oh, John, it's been lovely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in, because I know how busy you are. Your tour went on sale this week.
It did. It went on sale yesterday, in fact.
How exciting.
Tickets are alarmingly available.
I don't know, allowed to be available.
There's, I think it's only been a day.
There where so many people sell out like in 7 hours. There's this great pressure. They're like, no, I'm just gonna, I'll slow and steady. I'll do my interviews. As long as they're full by the time I get there, that'll be lovely.
That's exactly how I work. Slow burn. That's
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you want the kind of fans who aren't there queuing. Do you know what I mean? I think you want the kind of people who are just going to take their time and get there when they're ready.
It's too much pressure as well. If somebody's been sitting on a computer all night, I've got to deliver a show that's worth that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Too much pressure.
Absolutely.
Can't handle it. So take your time, guys. There's plenty of time.
Get your tickets up in a month or so.
Yeah, night before, probably. Fine.
When do you actually hit the road?
I hit the road in February, so okay. You've got a bit of time. So but they
Christmas
make good
presents.
Christmas presents, yeah. That's
absolutely
what I think.
Absolutely they do.
For your mum, dad,
look forward
whoever.
To, isn't it?
You know, yeah. Buy them for your friends, your enemies. I'm not fussy, whoever. I don't care. I'll take any bums on any seats.
I hope your front row now is just full of groups of two, one who's really happy and one is absolutely fuming.
I would love to look out and see that every night. I really would.
What is the show called?
So it's called Angst, John, which I feel is something you can relate to.
Absolutely. Sign me up.
It's sort of, because I'm, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, John, but not, I'm 47, nearly 48. And I speak a bit of German. And Germans have a great word for it, which is Torschlusspanik, which means fear of the closing gate. And it's that sort of, oh, I'm halfway through my life and there's all this stuff I haven't done. And I wanted to call the show that, but my agent quite wisely went, and how are people going to Google that? So I've gone with angst, which is also
five
a German
letters.
Word. You know what that's going to be about. It's about being a worrier. I'm a worrier, John. Although when I'm with you, I feel less of a worrier.
Yes, like, you're welcome.
I feel like you take some of the burden of the worry from me. So, yeah, it's sort of about being one of life's pessimists, but it's got me this far, so, you know.
I even didn't want to ask you that because what I know you are is really funny, so I'm guessing what is, the show, is just a load of funny jokes.
It's loads of jokes crammed into a theme is what it is, John. Yeah, no,
yeah, because people like that, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't hear a lot of it said anymore, but people like going to watch something funny that makes them laugh.
Exactly that. So. And one thing I like doing is writing jokes. So.
And are you everywhere? Is there somewhere you're not going out of principle?
So when not out of principle, I've even put Guildford in, which usually I try to avoid. But I, when people, it's just the spring leg of the tour that's on sale at the moment.
Oh,
so please
God,
don't come at me going, why aren't you coming to Scotland? Why aren't you coming to... I will be, but I'll be going there in the autumn and those tickets aren't on sale yet. So please don't come at me if I'm not in your back garden.
And equally, do you know what I think?
Yeah.
Don't. If you're an Angela Barnes super fan and you live in Bute, don't fly to the Plymouth date because you don't think she's coming to Scotland.
Yeah.
I have absolute fear when people say, I think, oh God, what if they've... Because I would do that. I've done that for the Proclaimers. I make no bones about it.
Yeah.
You see the Proclaimers when the diary permits, and I travel to Warwick from my house in Surbiton to see the Proclaimers, and I do it again.
Yeah, they're great live, aren't they, the Proclaimers?
Oh, wonderful. Right up until the end when they played a song for all the Scottish people, and I felt like they didn't really want me to be there. And it was sort of the happiest bit in the room. All the Scottish people stood up and sort of jumped up and down. And I just sat in my chair.
I feel like I shouldn't be here. I'm an imposter.
Yeah, I'm really sorry for liking you. But I'm not from Scotland. I just like your songs. Is that all right? I welcome all non-Lancastrians to come and see me.
Yeah.
Not Southerners, only Northerners. But
yeah,
you don't have to
mate.
Be from Lancashire.
Fair enough.
Angela Barnes, on tour nationwide. You've heard how funny she is. Get your tickets for Christmas. So, Angela, I can't thank you enough for coming in. You've been... What can I say? You've been Kerry Godliman and a half.
Oh, thank you. You're calling me fat? No, it's fine.
And I'm glad our time together is ending with this tension. Just hanging in the air. We've slightly insulted you. What we have to do is name the show. It will go out as a podcast for those unable to join us live. What would you title today's show? Sort of, I don't want to say witty because it puts you under pressure, but some sort of reference to what we've discussed today.
I feel like we need to get in your dirty electrical fault. That needs mentioning, I think, because it's been quite
my filthy electrics.
Your filthy electrics, or the fact that you've gone cardigan for it. Like, I can't remember what phrase you used to describe yourself in your hoodie. There was a word you used.
Cool and sexy?
Yeah, sure, we'll go with that. John's cool and sexy hoodie.
Like a Hollywood superstar.
In a hoodie, yeah.
Yeah,
like a Hollywood superstar putting the milk bottles out.
It's from a retailer whose name is reminiscent of somebody with a large visage Got you. I made that too subtle. And my daughter absolutely loves pointing at it and shouting at me whenever she sees. I've gone for get a roofer to check your shingles.
Oh, nice.
Just because of your sort of survey and the house buying stuff, but also a reference to our...
It's good wordplay for the double word of shingles. My other suggestion might be Queen Bee, just because that would really annoy my husband. Yeah. I mean, that would really annoy him. That's the only motivation for that.
That's enough for me. That is enough for me to bring that tension into your house. So you can listen to this week's show as a podcast, Queen Bee, wherever you get your podcasts. So there you go. Sue from Clifton is everywhere. Be afraid. Be very afraid. If you have done anything to your neighbours that you think is worthy of discussion, if you have a fruit-based pun, if you have a poem on any of the things we've discussed, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. If you'd like to hear that over a slightly longer time period with some great rock tunes introduced by a really slick, cool DJ guy, we are on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. and we'll be back then. Thanks so much for your company. Take care. Bye-bye.